Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, time for another outstanding edition of SC Wild from DNR here on Sports Talk. We welcome back in to the program the one and only Major Billy Downer, who I believe is somewhere outside in a field somewhere doing something. Major, good evening. How are you?
So I am live from the field here in South Carolina. The cold has descended upon our state, and the chill is in the air, and deer are moving. That's the report from the field. And it is now, actually, firearm season is open from the mountains to the sea, literally. So all of our game zones are open for firearms now, so deer season is in full swing. And this weather couldn't have hit a more apropos time to have some nice cold weather here when everybody can go out and enjoy deer hunting a field in our great state. And they are moving. Cold weather just gets everybody excited. They get moving. Bucks are chasing does, and there's just a lot of activity right now. So it's a good time to be out in creation watching everything work.
Now let me ask you this. You know, football fans, they start counting down the days of the start of football season, probably back sometime in the spring, and baseball fans count down to the start of their season, et cetera, basketball fans. So you, as a lover of the great outdoors and as a lover of deer hunting, when do you start counting down the days to the start of deer hunting season so you can do exactly what you're doing tonight?
Pretty much January 2nd. When the season ends January 1st, you just know 6 months from now it starts all over again. We just have that long – we always joke about it. We have long season here in South Carolina, and we're very blessed with that. So lots of opportunity for people to go afield and deer hunt. You're just happy to have that. This cold weather just really makes it nice. You're not sweating in the deer stand, swatting mosquitoes, which is typical South Carolina hunting weather. It's a lot better to bundle up and sit in the stand and kind of just sit still and watch Mother Nature move around.
So I'm
enjoying that tonight.
You sound cold. I bet it sounds like the nose is running a little bit. Let me ask you this for somebody who doesn't
it is.
Know. Yeah, I can tell. Let me ask you this, though, from somebody who doesn't know, and this might be an ignorant question, but anyway, it's a question. So have we ever had year-round deer hunting in South Carolina, or is that too dangerous to the crop?
No, so first of all, our deer season pretty much revolves around the fall and winter. That's pretty much our season.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because deer have a chance to reproduce in the spring and summer and, you know, just take part in Mother Nature there for 6 months, 7 months of a break. And in some parts of the state, a little bit longer than that, upper in mountain zone and region two, the game zone two, excuse me, their season just started for rifles October 11th. So you know, that part of the state is shorter, not very short, but shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly October 11th to January 1st. So, but that's to give animals a chance to reproduce, to maintain a population size in our state, which we do have a large population. We enjoy that. We talked to Charles last time and just confirmed our population is somewhere around 750,000 animals statewide. Some people, just like you, get hit. The deer hits their car, I think there's a million or more. There's too many. So, you know, the population gets really bad when you get hit by one. So,
yes.
But tonight we wanted to talk about scoring deer tonight, and Charles is actually very good at that. He is, you know, a big game project coordinator, and he's been to the school. Literally, they go to school or classes to learn how to score antlers for bucks. And I thought people might take interest in that because everybody, especially this time of year when they're chasing bucks left and right. They are, you know, looking hard to find a buck that might be something they want to mount for posterity, potentially a nice wide rack or a big buck, as they call it. And, you know, everybody's definition of big buck's different. You know, a guy's first deer, it's a 6-point that's only 12 inches wide, might be a big buck to him, because mm-hmm. he's never seen anything like that. But for a lot of people, they may be looking for that 16, 17 inch, what they call outside the ear rack, where the antlers actually spread outside the ears. And you get 8 to 10 inch tines, real tall, what they call the tines, the antlers stick up high above the head. And that becomes what a big buck is. But tonight, just want to talk a little bit about the Boone and Crockett system and how we do that. And maybe we might reflect a little bit on Pope and Young, mostly Boone and Crockett tonight, which is the official scoring system nationwide for scoring white-tailed deer. Do we have Charles yet, or are we still waiting
we
on
do.
Him?
No, he's standing by waiting for you.
Charles, thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Billy, I'm here, bro.
I hear you. Well, look, question for you. Out, this time of year it's cold. People out deer hunting, they're trying to find that, quote, big buck. And, we talk about, we've talked before in the past on the show, and you're a big proponent of, managing our whitetail herd a little bit better and managing for larger bucks and letting things grow so they can get bigger. And we know that. But just typically, what would be the largest deer on record in South Carolina? Would it be in the, 180 class or what, bigger than that?
Well, on the typical side, Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young, and I was listening to y'all before I came on, but Boone and Crockett is the overarching North American record keepers of big game. Pope and Young is the counterpart for archery, okay? They both use the exact same system, okay? So in South Carolina, the Boone and Crockett top end was a Pickens County in 1994. Pickens County deer it netted 176 even. And the non-typical, that record was long-standing from the early 70s until about 4 or 5 years ago when it was broken. That's like 216. Maybe a little change on the non-typical side. Of course, non-typical is a little different, as you know. Some of your listeners may not, but a lot of your listeners will understand the difference between typical and non-typical.
Sure. So let's stop for a minute. When we talk numbers like that, I know Phil's going to be wanting to ask that. What the heck's 170? What's 180? What's 216? So as Charles can absolutely explain, we'll simplify and let him get a little more detail into it, but the Boone and Crockett system basically measures a buck for different or antlers of a deer or other animals. They have other measurements, but they measure the antlers for length. So you're looking at inches, total inches, when it goes to width. And go ahead, Charles.
I was going to say exactly. When folks hear about 170 points, a point is an inch. And for antlered animals like deer, the measurements are taken to the nearest 1/8 of an inch. And you're right. If you look at a score sheet for a white-tailed deer, it looks complex, but it's really not. You've got a spread measurement, and the spread measurement that counts is the inside spread. Then you've got a column for the right antler and a column for the left antler. And basically, you're measuring the length of the antler, what most people call the beam, the antler beam. You're measuring the points that come off the beam, and then you're measuring the circumferences between the points. You got a total for the right antler, a total for the left antler. Then you have the symmetry component, Billy, which is the difference between corresponding measurements on the right antler and left antler. For example, let's say you have got a buck that you're measuring, and the brow points, most people understand what a brow point is. One brow point is 2 4/8 inches long. The other one is 2 3/8 inches long. Then your difference between those is 1/8. So that differences column is going to have a total down at the bottom line, as does the right antler and the left antler. So you add, you're adding all that up. You subtract the differences. You add the spread, and that's how you get your net. Now, with a non-typical, you do the same thing. But if you've got crazy points. A lot of people call them stickers and kickers and drop points. Those non-typical points would add to that final net score. A lot of people don't understand, even with the real weird-looking racks, you have to find a typical rack in there somewhere, and that's what you start with.
Right, and that's going to be typical is going to be pretty much symmetrical as much as it can be. I know that, but
correct.
I've helped many a time at the shows just with things. So one of the things I know that folks always ask, and I thought it'd be interesting for you to hit on just for a moment, is what, in your opinion, and your time doing this, and you've worked on plantations, you've done this a long time, and you've been measuring deer for a long time, what makes a deer make the book? And when we say make the book, folks, that's 125 points
for South Carolina.
It's got a net. That's for South Carolina. That's right. It's got a net, mm-hmm. 125. Mm-hmm. So, Charles, everybody wants to say, oh, he's got mass. Well, what does that mean to the average person who's
sure.
got mass?
Sure. And I can throw some stats out as far as the different components. What contributes the most to the overarching score? What I can tell you is that what a lot of people fail to recognize is the beam length. You're measuring the right beam, the left beam, but on the average, the beam lengths cumulatively are 30% of your overall score. That's pretty strong. Your spread measurement is about 12% of your score. Your circumference measurements, and there's eight of them. Each set of antlers is entitled to eight circumference measurements. That's four on the right, four on the left. It doesn't matter if it's a six-pointer, an eight-pointer, a ten-pointer. There's eight circumference measurements, and we won't get into the details on six-pointers and eight-pointers, but they're due four circumferences on each side. Those circumference measurements are worth 20, average about 20% of the score. So that leaves all the points, and all the points together are about 38% of the overall score. So go back to your beam lengths. Those two measurements are 30% of your score. So I'm all about some long beams. And I'll tell you, Billy, what I see a lot in our record, in our state records, that 125 mark, at least in South Carolina, separates the men from the boys. And what we will see is that you'll have these big 8-point bucks that have 21-inch beams, which is nothing to sneeze at, but they won't make it. They'll be 122,
that's right.
123. You got to have, a deer with 22 or better inch beams, and then good tine length as well. And that's why I think the spread is real important. But again, I meant the beam length is very important. So again, to summarize, beam length 30%, spread 12%, all of your points together 38%, and your circumference is about 20%. So
now I can verify this for Charles' sake. When Charles says this, and he's told me many times, it takes a really good 8-point to make the book, to make 125. It just really, really does. And I have shot some really nice 8-points that I thought would make the book, and they did not. They fell short.
Well, yeah, I think you've got a couple, though, Billy.
My daughter Cora made the book.
How important is it to make the book? Is that like that's
well,
like
here's,
it's like bragging rights. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, like Charles said, 125 separates the men from the boys. It's a nice deer just to get to 125.
But guys, I'll tell you something. One thing, and I agree, hunters get bowed up and they get proud about making our state book, and they should.
Mm-hmm.
However, what our antler record list is doing, it is promoting our deer. So it's for somebody like me, it's more about the deer than the hunter. Now, my hat's off to the hunter. But it's showing respect to the deer and the overall management of the deer population. And our deer population here in South Carolina. So, and a lot of hunters lose sight of that. We're recognizing the deer, not the hunter, which a lot of people go, huh?
That's an excellent point, because it's about the size of that deer. It really speaks, like you said, for what we have here. If you look at our book and see how much it takes to get there, and when you get a big deer like that and the number of deer that are in the book, Charles, good question there. How many deer make the book annually? Is there an average number you can think of? Or?
Yeah, you know, Billy, we're almost to 8,000 all time. Our records program began in 1974, and of course, we measure in deer that may have been back to the early 1900s, but we're just under 8,000. Most of those are typicals, you know, almost 7,600 and about 350 non-typicals. As to annually, a good year we will have 220 or 225 entries. Now, that doesn't mean all those deer were killed that deer season. But most of them were killed that season or the one before that. This past measuring cycle was the best we've ever had. And I think a lot of it was because we were making up for COVID with all the shutdowns and all that. You know, we didn't have the Sportsman's Classic, which is one of our bigger scoring sessions. But we had, I'm trying to remember here, gosh, like 278 successful entries this last cycle. Again, not all those were killed last deer season, but a high percentage of them were. We measured over 600 sets of antlers this last cycle.
Ooh. Let me ask you this real quick. Where in the country, is there a particular state where you have the enormous deer when you're going to measure these things? It's like off the charts. The size? Is there a particular state or region that stands out?
Yeah, when you're talking about Boone and Crockett proportions, which we are not here in South Carolina, we've got a handful of Boone and Crockett deer, but you're looking at states like Kansas, Iowa, Wisconsin, you know, those Midwestern Corn Belt states. Kentucky's a great state that's pretty close to us, and a lot of it, if not a very high percentage of it, has to do with soil fertility. You know, when I said Corn Belt, that's very important. You know, they measure their topsoil in feet. They grow massive amounts of agriculture because of that. And, you know, the size of a deer and its antlers is all related to nutrition. We got poor soils here, and what little bit of good soil we had, we wore out cotton farming long ago. So, and we never did have that great of a soil fertility, you know, type index. So it's just, it's different. It's a lot different depending on where you are in the country. And a lot of it has to do with soil fertility.
Well, let me ask this, a more pointed question to South Carolina, because it made me think, Phil, when you said that, Charles, one of the interesting points for our state is, I think you probably know this off the top of your head, what counties in our state are really leading as far as bigger deer? Is Edgefield one I remember, or am I wrong there?
No. All, if you look at all time in order, Aiken, Orangeburg, Anderson, Fairfield, and Williamsburg. And really, Aiken and Orangeburg are head and shoulders above anybody else.
That's what it was, Aiken, I was thinking about, not Edgefield. God,
yeah, Aiken,
okay.
Exactly. Aiken. Yep, absolutely. Yep. And if Orangeburg is a good example. It's a big county, number one. But look at the agriculture in Orangeburg County, and the reason there's a lot of agriculture, pretty good dirt down there. And plus, the agriculture contributes to the deer population. So you ask a farmer, you know.
Yep, they got a solid river system, solid, you know, good soil there, good drainage, everything. So
yep,
I know this.
Those five counties make up about 25% of all of our records, and they only represent 10% of the counties in the state. So, you know, they're the spotlight is on them.
So list them again one more time, Charles, for those who may not heard it.
In order, Aiken, Orangeburg, Anderson, Fairfield, and Williamsburg. Now, if you look at it per unit area, you know, all of those are real big counties. If you look at it per unit area, you start looking at counties like Abbeville, Allendale, and that's really, truth be known, that's the way to look at it, because you can't compare Allendale County to Orangeburg County because it's half the size. So, right. You know, folks can go online and dig around in our antler records and see a chart that breaks it down both ways. So, you know, total, you know, looking just at numbers, that's the list. Looking at per unit area harvest, it changes a little bit. You know, Abbeville, Allendale, Orangeburg is still in there, as is Aiken. So two different ways to look at it.
Right. So to recap a couple things just for folks that may have joined later, just as we thinking about closing out tonight, The big things that help a deer get big or the things that make a deer score more. Number one, Charles, you said 30% of that score is beam length, main beam length.
Main beam length, 30%, yeah. Yeah, you got to have good
after
beams.
After that,
beams. Yeah, 30, almost 40% is the points, 20% circumference, spread is about 12%. But the bottom line is you got to have age and you got to have nutrition.
Absolutely. And width does somewhat correlate to beam length, won't it? Because to get that width, the beams are going to be longer. So there is a little correlation. If you got a wide deer, you know, that 20-inch spread is going to score better because he's got more beam length also.
Well, you know, particularly if those beams sweep in, some of these wide bucks that just go out, they're not going to have very big, very long beams. But the ones that are wide and then come in the middle, now you're cooking with gas.
I got you. All right. And then so when you talk about mass, the circumference is only, what'd you say, it's just a portion of.
It's 20. You know, on the average, it makes up about 20% of the total score. Yep.
All right.
But
so, Matthew, you want to mention that?
You get these real heavy deer, and it can run those numbers up in a hurry. You know, heavy.
Well, absolutely. And anything past 8 points runs you. I mean, you get to a 10-point, a 12-point, you've got more time length because you've got more times.
Correct.
So
you get more measurements. Measurements, and a 10-pointer will get a fairly average looking 10-point. Will make the book, whereas a pretty strong looking 8-point may not make the book just because you've got two more measurements.
That's right.
Well, I got to ask the major this before we say goodnight, and that is, has Cora bagged a bigger one than you have in the book? Does she have a higher place in the book
correctly.
Than you?
Really? She's made the book, and I have not. That's correct.
Well, we got to get you in the
she
book.
Made
what
the book
do you?
When she was six. She what, made the book when she was 16.
And what are you doing to get in the book?
Job.
What are you doing to get yourself in the book?
Hunt hard and hunt long. It just doesn't quite work out the same. Like Charles said, though, I have taken some really nice deer that I'm very proud of, but even a nice 8-point like I've taken before, I got several of them that I'm very proud of, but they just didn't quite make the book. They missed by, three or four points. Love three
yeah,
or four inches.
I can vouch for that because I've measured several really good deer for Billy, and I'll tell you,
Thanks, Charles. Thanks for burying me with that. He's come up short several times.
Well, but I mean, they're still great deer, and I measure a lot of deer. Billy knows that. And I tell folks when they walk in my office to get measured, if they don't make it, that deer has not changed, and you should still feel the same way about it. Period.
Yeah.
And that's just it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I do say so myself, Bill.
Hang in there, Major. You'll get it one day. You'll catch Cora, and you'll pass her one day. I have complete confidence in you. All right,
well,
guys.
Thanks,
we need to wrap it. Yeah, go ahead, Major.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks, Charles, for helping us kind of understand scoring tonight. I think that was a good description for some folks. But as we close up tonight, cold weather's upon us. Good deer hunting's out there. Just make sure you're safe when you go afield. Let folks know where you're going. Use a light when you go to and from the stand, particularly in low light, so that folks know that you are a person and not a deer moving.
Great advice. Major, thank you. Charles, thank you. We'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks. Have a great time out there in the field, guys, and appreciate you very much.
Anytime.
All right, there you go. SC Wild, starring Major Billy Downer here on Sports Talk. Great stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Hope you did as well. Thank you, Pat, and thank you, everybody out there. We'll see you tomorrow night on Sports Talk.